Hi, I'm J. Christian Adams, president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation, the nation's election integrity law firm. You can find out more at publicinterestlegal.com. This is the Protecting Your Vote podcast. Today, we're going to talk Pennsylvania and lots of things we learned in the last couple of elections. With me today, from the home of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, is Linda Kearns. Hey, Linda, how are you?
Hi, Christian. Thank you for having me. Yes, I am from Philadelphia, the home of the Eagles. Very proud of that.
Great. Well, Linda, we're going to talk about the death threat lawsuit that we have in Pennsylvania for the Trump voters who got death threats in the mail. Lots of actually developments been happening the last couple of weeks I'll be reporting on. And also, let's talk about election integrity generally in this podcast. But I want to get your prediction first for how the Eagles are going to do this year. And I bet you're going to be completely Pollyanna-ish, aren't you?
And I'm just going to be truthful. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Ah, okay. Well, I can't wait to see how evergreen this podcast is. So for those of you who have not seen it, the Public Interest Legal Foundation is representing two Pennsylvania voters who got death threats in the mail, a letter saying that they're going to get killed because they had Trump signs in their yard. They're going to kill the cat. They're going to come in the dead of the night, the letter said, and extract vengeance. It was going to be on a cold winter's night, no less. So the Public Interest Legal Foundation filed a lawsuit on behalf of some of these voters under federal civil rights laws. Now, Linda, I'm gonna put you on the spot as an attorney in the case and ask you some questions about the case. The Pennsylvania State Police and the local police departments, the court allowed us to do discovery against them, meaning serve subpoenas and demand answers, what they did. So let's start with the Pennsylvania State Police. They replied to our discovery, didn't they?
Yeah, their answer was they don't have anything for us because there wasn't an investigation.
Okay, let me make sure everybody understood that who's listening. The Pennsylvania State Police said in response to voters receiving death threats regarding an election, the Pennsylvania State Police had no investigation. Okay, Josh Shapiro, pick up line three, please. We've been waiting. Nothing happening in the Pennsylvania State Police. Let's talk about...
Well, for listeners who don't know, Josh Shapiro is our governor who is running for re-election next year for his second term and has presidential ambitions.
So let's lay the marker down for the future. Josh Shapiro doesn't seem to care about political violence except when it affects his own house. All right. Next question. Some local police departments were subpoenaed under our lawsuit that the Public Interest Legal Foundation brought to ask them. I think one of them is called Lower Merion. Does that sound right? Okay, so here comes the big moment. Tell everybody about the investigation that the Lower Merion Police Department described in the responses to our discovery.
There wasn't an investigation.
Right. You seem dumbfounded, as you should be. But that's right. The Pennsylvania State Police and the Lower Merion Police didn't do anything about, and you know, this sounds a little familiar, like as far as voter intimidation goes, but I'll leave that for another podcast. So let's fast forward to the United States Postal Inspectors. Now we know, because I think it's in our pleadings, that the postal inspectors went to our clients' houses and gathered the evidence for an investigation. And that was in October of 2024, almost a year ago. Linda, how cooperative have the United States Postal Inspectors been in this case?
Well, honestly, the reaction of the United States Postal Inspectors reminded me a lot of the reaction of Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt when we asked him for information, which is stonewalling, obscuring, obfuscation, just saying that they can't do it. They're not going to give us anything.
So they're not going to give us anything. How about that? The people who are supposed to investigate death threats in the mail, and death threats went to Trump supporters because they had their signs out in their yard, and the post office is standing in the way of enforcing the civil rights laws. This has been going on for months.
These threats were delivered through the U.S. mail. The person who did this, person or persons, put a stamp on it and put it through the U.S. mail. So these people, in the privacy of their own homes, were opening their mailboxes to get, you know, whatever mail they were getting, bills, cards, whatever. And in that was these envelopes that came through the U.S. mail, threats. I mean, imagine how intrusive that is to see that in your own home.
So in our lawsuit, we sued Jane Doe, and we asked the federal judge to let us do discovery to find out who these people were. And I have a couple news items for this. First of all, there's a $2,000 reward. If you go to publicinterestlegal.org, there's a $2,000 reward for tips that are leading to the identity of the people. And some of you are anonymous tipsters, so I want to talk to you. Thank you, first of all. Those tips have been used, and I have some news about this case. We are making headway in figuring out who this person is based on some of these tips. I will wager the person who did this might be listening to us right now, Linda. I'm just going to guess. You know how psychos like to return to the scene of the crime, like your neighbor in the Poconos? I mean, you know, they like to go back to where they did the deed. And I just hope that the person who did this might be listening, because I'm just going to tell you, we're starting to figure out who you are. And the best approach to this might be to turn yourself in, because the Public Interest Legal Foundation, Linda Kearns, we're going to keep twisting the screws on you, and we're going to keep going to the federal court, and we're going to keep doing discovery, and we're eventually going to figure out who did this. And yeah, so that's a little bit of an update. And we're going to be going to the federal court soon with some more requests for discovery, because we think we have a fair idea who may have done this. Because people like to talk, and people like to do stupid things when they commit crimes. And I think that's happened here.
And once you start investigating, you find things out. Perhaps had the Pennsylvania authorities looked into this, they would have found out what we found out so far.
Correct. That's the bottom line. If they had done what the Public Interest Legal Foundation has already done in this death threat voting case, they might have found out what we have already found out, which we're not going to talk about in the podcast, but in due time, it will be part of a pleading. So I would be a little worried if you're out there sending these letters, because you aren't so anonymous as you might think. Okay, so let's talk generally about the election in 2024. You know, Pennsylvania came out in favor of Trump. I've seen your terrific presentation you've done at a variety of places about the 2020 election. Linda, one of the things that's happened, unfortunately, in election integrity, in my view, is courts have begun to restrict standing. And they weren't doing that before 2020. Okay, let's just be clear. Now, some people weren't involved in this space before 2020, right? They never did anything in this area. And so they weren't there for the good old days when you could file a lawsuit and not get thrown out because of a variety of technical issues like standing. But that seemed to change in 2020. And let's talk, if we might, about the Public Interest Legal Foundation's non-citizen voting records case in Pennsylvania, where we won summary judgment, right? We won summary judgment. We won the case. We got a big attorney fee award. It goes to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. And what happened there?
They agreed, unfortunately, with the Commonwealth that the Public Interest Legal Foundation did not have standing on the under the NVRA, and that's unfortunate, and that's going to, I think, have a ripple effect across all these cases across the country unless we can get that changed.
Yeah, and standing, for those who aren't lawyers and are blessed with being non-lawyers, means that you have a right to go to court. And it's a really easy way for a judge to get rid of a case. Now, Linda, I'm going to throw out a hypothesis here. There were a lot of really bad cases filed in 2024 before the election. Frankly, some in 2022, meaning 2020 also. And I just can't help but think of one particular Pennsylvania case where the judges dismissed the case before the defendants even had to reply. Now, I got to tell you, I've been practicing law a long time, right? Over 30 years. I have never once in my memory seen a case where the court dismisses a case and doesn't even give the defendants they don't even have to reply. Now, some people might say, well, that's because the judge is railroading the plaintiff. No, it wasn't because the judge is railroading the plaintiff. These cases were so flimsy, and I feel bad for whoever spent money on them because they didn't get their money's worth. And my hypothesis to you is these flimsy cases are hurting the credible cases when it comes to things like standing.
I absolutely agree with you. There's a lot of people out there who unfortunately are long on enthusiasm, but short on actual knowledge, both of just the law, the statutes, the cases, and just how to successfully challenge these types of laws in court and when to successfully challenge them. You know, a judge cannot fix everything that is wrong with a poorly written statute. A judge cannot fix a downstream consequence of a statute that the legislature may not have anticipated when that statute was drafted. But there are plenty of people out there, unfortunately, that are willing to just take things to court, get the splash of the complaint, say, we're doing something. Look what we're doing. We're filing a complaint. Even though that complaint very quickly gets dismissed, you know, that kind of doesn't always hit the news. But the problem is then when there are legitimate lawsuits that are needed by campaigns or parties during an election or leading up to an election or about a law, the judges tend to look at them a little more carefully because it's very difficult to sort out, you know, who's a good player and who's someone who may not have that knowledge. And it's incredibly frustrating. I think it's setting us back. You know, I tell people that as much as I love election integrity, it's my passion. I'm actually wearing a necklace that says count ballots in public. As much as this is my passion, the reality of true election work is it's tedious. It can be boring. It's comprehensive. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But I, you know, people who kind of just have come into the election integrity effort in the last few years don't seem to recognize that.
Look, I'll give a little tip. If you're new and trying really need some guidance as to what Linda's saying, to judge whether or not a complaint is credible or not, I have some sort of metrics. Okay, here's one of Christian Adams's metrics. How long is the complaint? If it's like 250 paragraphs and 70 pages, it's not going to win in this space. You need it to be clean and directed. And when judges pick up a 200, 400 paragraph complaint, no one wants to read it. They just want it to go away. It's like having a starling eating your tomatoes. It's like, get out of here, bird, right?
Exactly. I agree with you. But unfortunately, it's happening, and it's happening a lot more frequently. Look, Pennsylvania has problems. I'm the first to say that. We have significant problems with our election code. Up until 2019, we had very tight election laws wherein you basically had to vote on election day unless you were sick or were going to be away on business. So very few people voted on paper prior to election day by mail. And at the time, it was called absentee ballot by excuse. In 2019, our legislature changed it to allow no excuse absentee balloting, called mail-in balloting. And the problem is they did not change in the statute any of the procedures of how to count those ballots. So the same procedures that were drafted decades and decades ago of how to count a few hundred ballots per county, or maybe a thousand in a larger county like Philadelphia, those same procedures had to be applied to hundreds of thousands of ballots. And it just doesn't work. When a statute says that the party or the candidate can have one person in the room to observe the counting of ballots, that might work if they're only counting a few dozen ballots. It doesn't work when they're in a room the size of a football field counting hundreds of thousands of ballots. And the legislature still has not changed any of that. Right. To this day, here we are in 2025.
I've seen some of your videos of the counting center in Philadelphia that I think really wasn't a voting center, like there was a game being played. But I think you're right. When courts get weary of seeing claims that don't have merit, it becomes harder and harder for the meritorious claims to break through with those skeptical judges. And I know a lot of people want to say, we got to do something. We can't do anything. Yeah, well, okay, well, let's throw standing out the window then. Yeah, there's a price. Now, I know it's fun to fundraise off of that business model and to get donor support, but it's another thing if you actually want to win in court. And I think that it's important for lawyers in this space, and there's a lot of good lawyers out there, believe me. You know, I'll just mention John Gore at Jones Day. I'll mention Lee Goodman, another great lawyer who's credible. But there's some who aren't. And, you know, you learn pretty quickly who is credible and who isn't. And unfortunately, too many wacky cases, I think, are polluting the minds of judges. We're not all the wacky cases, right? We're not all the 300-page complaints. Some of these cases are not.
And I know I've represented the Public Interest Legal Foundation now for many, many years, and I know what goes into the drafting of our complaints, the research, the making sure everything's accurate. And that is just not happening with a lot of these other complaints.
Here's another axiom in addition to my, the longer the complaint, the weaker it is. One single mistake, factually, in an allegation about voter fraud, voter rolls, will doom your case. Doom. So if you screw up a code citation, a he's really dead but voted reference, if you screw anything up, you're going to lose.
Right.
Right. Okay. Linda, so big year for the Eagles. They're trying to become like a credible dynasty team, right? Because they're not now. Let's just be clear. Three Super Bowls is not a dynasty, right?
You're right.
They're still not up there at the Patriots and the Steelers and the 49ers. They're kind of wannabes, right?
Right. But in Philadelphia, it's nice to have something good to think about. So, you know, it's a big city with a lot of big city problems. So, you know, having a team that's good and competitive and has won is a nice feeling.
We appreciate your time, and we look forward to litigating with you on some of these death threat issues involving Trump voters. Again, if you know anything, there's a tip line. You can get $2,000 reward for any tips leading to the identity of the person who sent death threats to Pennsylvania voters. We'll be in court protecting your vote and keeping your vote free from getting nasty letters in the mail if you live in Pennsylvania. I'm Jay Christian Adams. Please like, subscribe, up or down us down there. And until next time, this is Protecting Your Vote.